Genesis chapter 17.
And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee.
Okay, now here we see, God called Abraham. At that time, he was almost 75 years old. He had no children. His wife didn't have children. And she said, okay, you go to the Hagar, my young maidservant. And he went and he got a child. After that, 13 years passed. No children to Abraham. And he was satisfied with that one child. But here the word of God is saying, now Abraham, I am Almighty God. Walk before me blameless, perfect, and don't disobey me. Be obedient child. And that's what God was trying to encourage him. And then he says, your name is Abram. So here we say his name was Abram, means a father. But now he says, you are not going to be just father for Ishmael, but I'm going to make a father for many nations and many kings. And so his name is changed, and God is trying to tell him, now you're going to be a father of many nations. Abraham, the word of God says, when God started talking to him, Abraham fell on his face and started worshiping God. The word of God says God came from heaven, came down to talk to Abraham. God can talk to people in dreams, visions, and different ways. But here the word of God says God came down to talk to Abraham. Let's read the verse 6.
And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee.
Now he says, I'm going to make you fruitful, exceedingly fruitful, and the kings will come out of you. Means in your generation there will be kings. But godly king, there was none. And so Abraham is given promise that in your generation or in your birthline, I'm going to bring kings and many nations will come out of you. Now Abraham is not understanding what God is saying. Abraham is still thinking, I have a son and now God is going to bless me and my son, and through Ishmael, maybe many nations will come. That's what he was thinking. He didn't know that God is going to tell him something else. Let's read the verse 7.
And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations.
Now here the God is saying, when you read this word covenant, in this one chapter, it says almost a dozen times, I'm going to make a covenant with you, you're going to keep my covenant, and now he doesn't know what God is making covenant. Only one thing he is understanding, God is making covenant that I'm going to be blessed, my children will be blessed, and in our families there are kings will be coming, and God is going to bless me and multiply and make me fruitful. This is the covenant he is thinking. But God had something different in his mind. Let's keep on reading.
This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant.
Now see what God is saying to Abraham. I am going to make a covenant between you and me. When God is making covenant, he's saying, now this covenant is not like I made the covenant with Noah or I made a covenant with Adam. This is a new covenant. This time, I'm going to make some sign in your flesh. You have to take the foreskin off your body. This is the covenant I'm going to make with you. So it should be like some kind of attachment. God has made a covenant with my flesh or with my body or with my seed. And God's saying, not only with you. I want this covenant between you and your generation. Your servants, your children, even the somebody you bought with a price, or whoever is in your house, each and every male child should be circumcised. Now, when you see circumcision, actually, right now, God is just making a covenant with him, the token of his covenant. He has to do circumcision. So the same rule comes to you and your family. When somebody lives in your house, maybe they are not your relatives, and you give them chance to live because they have financial problems or they don't have room to stay, or you say, okay, come and live in my house. So Abraham, God gave the rule for everybody the same. So the same way, if somebody comes under your shelter, each and everyone should have the same rule. Because you cannot allow somebody to do anything and everything they want to do, and they are living under your roof. You have to say, if you're living under my roof, whatever the rules and regulations I have for my children, you're going to obey. You can be adopted child, or you can be somebody coming to your house, or is your servant. Everyone has the same rule. Now somebody says, I'm not your son, I'm not your daughter, I'm just a stranger, or I'm just your relative. You cannot treat me like your children. The word of God says to Abraham, everyone has the same rule, and you have to obey it. That is the covenant I'm going to make it with you. Okay, verse 14.
And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant.
See what God is saying? If the rule is given, the commandment is given, and if they disobey commandment, that person should be cut off from the blessings of God. So you have to say to those people, if you don't abide by my rule, you cannot smoke, you cannot drink, you cannot read filthy books in my house, you cannot do anything wrong in my house. And if you start doing that, you should be out of my house. People are afraid. Some people are saying, oh, God loves people, and God's love is unconditional. And so we should love our children the same. No, God doesn't love unconditionally. This is the wrong teaching people are giving. God loves the sinner. God gave his life for the sinners. The word of God says, we were sinner. At that same time, God Jesus Christ gave his life for us. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the story is different. Then you have to abide in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to obey the commandments of God. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. Jesus Christ gave the commandment of love. Love one another. Love the Lord. Follow the Lord. Stay in Jesus Christ. If somebody says, I'm born again, I'm free, I can do anything. That's not the will of God. God loves you. If you read in St. John chapter 3, he says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But at the same time, he said, I didn't come to condemn you. But if you don't believe the plan of salvation, if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are already condemned. Salvation is free. Salvation came to the whole world. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. The whole world is not saved yet. Why? They have to receive it. They have to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The salvation is free. The gift is free. But you have to open your heart, open your hands, and say, receive it. There are some preachers are preaching today. They're saying Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for us. We don't have to do anything. We already got it. You don't have to even say, Lord, give it to me or come into my heart and I'm asking you forgiveness of my sins. Nothing. They think the gift is free, so we got it and just run with the gift. Doesn't work that way. You have to recognize that God's gift is free, but you have to receive it. If you don't receive it, you don't get it. So we have to receive the gift of God freely. Here the word of God is saying, I'm making a covenant with you. You make a covenant and teach your people to abide in my covenant. And if they don't, they should be cut off from the family of God. So same way, if my children or grandchildren, they live with me, they have a rule. If they break the law of God, if they break the commandment of God, just think my son starts saying, Daddy, I made up my mind how to drink, how to smoke, how to do everything, and you are my father, and you have to love me, and you have to keep me. There are some parents, they will do it. They say, we love you, so we keep you. I kick him out the same minute. I don't keep it for next second. Because God has the rules and regulations. You cannot promote sin and say to people, you know what, I love my daughter, I love my son, but whatever they do, I cannot do anything. Only God can do, but God told me to love your children. That's the foolish love. If you have love, that love should have wisdom. You cannot love your children the way they are. You have to tell them, this is the way our house is. Our house is the house of God. We are the children of God. You cannot live in my house and bring the devil and bring the demons and bring the heathen customs in my house. If you want to live that way, out of my house. And that's the way it is. The word of God says, cut them off. Okay, verse 15.
And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her.
Now here we learn Abraham, when God spoke to him, God gave him a commandment. God even told him that I'm going to change your name. At that time, Abraham fell on his face and listened to God and listened to God and did not lift up his face. But here we see, as soon as God starts talking about his wife, he says, I want to see what he's saying. So now he was falling on his face, I believe now he is lifting his eyes and listening what God is talking to me about my wife.
Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said, in his heart shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear.
Now here we see, first of all we heard he was on his face, right? Now how can he fall the double on his face again? That means as soon as his wife's name came, he started listening. I want to see what he's talking about my wife. Now he said, your name is changed. Now you were just an ordinary father, and you became a father because you gave the birth to Ishmael. But now I'm going to make you the father of many nations and the father of kings. So he liked that idea. And he now God is saying about your wife, she's not Sarai anymore, she is Sarah. She is also going to be a mother of many nations, and many kings will come out of her. That's the time he fell on his face again, and he started laughing. Up to now, he was not laughing. He was thinking, God gave me a son, he's all 13 years old, and no more children came after that. So in his mind, God cannot give me any more children. I'm going to be now 100. And so if God wanted to give me children, why only Ishmael? He would have given from the young lady at least 4, 5, 6 children in these 13 years. Why he's not bearing children? Maybe something wrong with my body. I'm too old to produce children. He did not blame the Hagar. Hagar is a young lady. Maybe something wrong with me. That's why he is falling on his face and laughing and thinking in his heart. He did not say anything loud. He is thinking in his heart, I am 100 years old, and how am I going to bear the children? Because these 13 years, no more children. So he thought, maybe I cannot bring the children anymore. And then he says, your wife is going to have children, and she is going to produce the kings. That's the time in his mind, in his heart, he is saying, Sarah bearing the children. He could not picture that. Sometime when God gives you some promises, you cannot believe it. You think it is impossible. But we have to believe. Our God is God. When God says something, he fulfills the promises. Sometimes you do not understand, doesn't make a sense. But God can do anything. So Abraham has to learn hard way. Okay, let's read verse 18.
And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee.
Lord, thank you for giving me Ishmael. Ishmael is now 13 years old. I'm happy with him. Let the Ishmael be blessed. Don't talk about Sarah. I'm happy with this young lady. Even though she is not bearing children, I like her. I like my son. And don't talk about any other children. I don't think Sarah is capable to bear any children. See what God is saying. 19.
And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him.
Now God is saying, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. What is he trying to say? Don't tell me that you are happy with Ishmael. I have a plan. I am going to give your wife Sarah a son. And so he's saying, you are laughing, so I'm going to make your son's name a laughter. So the Isaac means a laughter. And you will see later on, the Sarah also laughed. So together, they they did not believe that God can bring the child. But God says to Abraham, you laugh, but I'm going to make a child out of your laughter and make his name Isaac. Okay, let's read a little bit further. Verse 20.
And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation.
Now here he's saying about Ishmael. He gave the Ishmael a worldly blessing. They will multiply, they will be fruitful, but the spiritual blessings was not given to Ishmael. And in this chapter you will be learning, God told this Abraham, you will be worshiping me and your people worshiping the same God, means God Almighty. But you saw, when Ishmael was given the blessings that he will be fruitful and he will be multiplied, same thing happened to Muslim people. Ishmaeli people are Muslim. The people came from Ishmael and Esau. They're all Muslims. And so they are fruitful. They multiply, but they do not have a spiritual blessing. Ishmael was given the physical blessings, but he was not given the spiritual blessing. Verse 21.
But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year.
Now he says, but I'm going to establish my covenant with Isaac. And what he's trying to say, he says, Sarah will be pregnant the set time. At this time, means he said, I'm talking to you, and this set time, Sarah will have son. His name will be Isaac, and I'm going to establish my covenant with him. Let's read verse 22.
And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him.
When God talked with Abraham, he says he left. God left talking to him, and he went up. So that means God came down to talk to Abraham. And he talked to him, even though he did not see his face, he was bowing down and worshiping him. But Jesus said, Abraham saw me. Maybe this time, or maybe the time when the Melchizedek came. So when Jesus Christ says in St. John chapter 1, verse 18, please read.
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Now here is saying, no man hath seen God any time. God came and talked to Abraham, and Abraham, you know, fell on his face, and God came from heaven to talk to him. Now Jesus says, Abraham saw me. But at the same time, he says, no one has seen God anytime. So what is the difference? When you say God the Father, no one has seen God the Father. How come? Because St. John chapter 4, verse 24. He says God is spirit. And whoever worships him, they should worship in a spirit, in truth. So when God is spirit, no man can see God with their own eyes. But that Jesus is the only one. Came down from heaven, and so he took the form of angel or form of priest or king of Salem. So Abraham was able to see him. That's why Jesus Christ was saying, Abraham saw me. But here when you say God, God is the Spirit, and no one can see God. Let's read the verse 24. Go back to the Genesis chapter 17.
And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him.
Abraham heard the voice of God. God gave him clear explanation. He listened very carefully. Now this time is Abraham 99 years old. Now he's an old man. He himself thought, you know, I cannot have any children. But God told him to do the circumcision. For everyone who is born in your family, the person who was your servant or bought with a price, you have to do these things. Do you think it's an easy task? It's a hard work. It's a difficult job. Even to convince somebody is a difficult thing. There are people, if you will be seeing later on, 300 young men, warriors were there, and we'll be seeing later on chapters that they were fighting and they got a victory. So there are warriors born in his house, and there will be older people, younger people, and younger than Ishmael, older than Ishmael. Ishmael is 13 years old, and now he has to go and convince everybody. He has to have some kind of meeting or get to house and tell somebody, God made me, God talked to me, and I'm going to cut your foreskin. They might be thinking, you are senile. Old man, why you want to cut our skin? But you can see how these people were obedient to Abraham. They didn't say, okay, you kill us or do whatever. We are your people. We are your children. You bought us with your money. We are your slaves. Do whatever you want. We are ready. So I believe he might have started from the old people to all the servants and all the born people in this family. Do you know when you do circumcision, first day you will not feel it, but second or third day you cannot even walk. It's so painful for the older people. You have the example we will be studying later on. Israel's children, when Diana was taken, and they got angry when the enemy took it, and they said, okay, you want our daughter? You have to be circumcised. They said, okay, we'll circumcise. They did the circumcision whole country. And third day, they were in pain. That's the time Israel, Jacob's son, went and killed everybody. They could not run. They could not do anything. The point I'm making is a painful thing for the older people. But the God says, do it when the child is 8 days old. And now the doctors and everybody found out the eighth day when you do circumcision is less painful and it can heal faster. So the point I'm making, Abraham has to go house to house, or maybe has to make a committee meeting or some kind of conference and talk to each and everyone and convince everyone. If you don't take circumcision, you'll be out of my house, out of my life, and we have no dealing with you. This is what God says. You want to follow me? You want to get my blessings? Then obey the circumcision. And I believe he circumcised everyone, because he says each and everyone in his family and the servants and the people who bought with the price were circumcised. And I think then he circumcised his son, and then he circumcised himself. The word of God said the same day. I don't know, God talked to him in the early in the morning or a noonday, but whatever the time he had, before the sun goes down, he has to accomplish this work. And he did it willingly and happily. And I don't think he was mad at God, and nobody interfered. But everybody obeyed. And that's the way the word of God should be obeyed. Whatever the word of God says, it might hurt you. It might be difficult for you to do it. But the word of God says so, I'm going to do it. Why people do not give up smoking and drinking, do you know? Little bit headache, little bit uncomfortable. They don't want to do it for the Lord. I'm saying if you all belong to Jesus Christ, you have to suffer for him. The word of God says God did not call you just to believe in him, but to suffer for him. So we have to suffer for the sake of Christ. We have to give our body as a living sacrifice. Say, Lord, you gave your life, last drop of blood. I want to give my life for you. And I want to live for you. No matter what, I'm going to follow you. That's the way the Christian life is. Don't make Christian life is so easy. We can be Christian, smoke, drink, and have a good time. That's the way God called us, to be happy and joyful. That's not the will of God. It takes painful things to be in the will of God. Now here we read, thy seed, thy seed, thy seed, many times. It started from the Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. I make a covenant with thy seed, or thy seed will be blessed. It did not say seeds, seed. That's what he is talking about, Jesus Christ. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16.
Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ.
See, it's very clear. The blessings was coming by Jesus Christ. Not by Ishmael, not by Jacob or Isaac. Jesus Christ is the real seed of Abraham. That's why Matthew chapter 1 we read, the son of Abraham or son of David. Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. All the Abraham's blessing, we got it in Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, you will have the blessings of Abraham. But if you reject Jesus Christ, you lose the blessings of Abraham. There are so many people are saying, okay, we are the seed of Abraham, and all the Jewish people came from Abraham. But let me tell you, much more blessings receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior than the Old Testament people. Because we are not only the children of God, we are the bride of Christ. Okay, so here we see the seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. And we are children of God, and we are the heirs of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now here it says, God said to Abraham, do the circumcise in your flesh. But later on, if you read a book of Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, what St. Paul is saying.
For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God.
See, here he's saying, there are people are saying God told us to do circumcise, so we have to do circumcision. There was a one football player, but he was saying every Christian should be Jewish. So he thought everybody should be circumcised and everybody should be Jewish and then we'll be blessed. What the word of God is saying? God is not looking for the circumcision of your body anymore. He's looking for the circumcision of heart. Somebody says, how are we going to cut the foreskin of heart? The word of God says, circumcision of heart means what? Repentance. John the Baptist came and he says, repent. Jesus Christ came and said, repent. Peter came and said, repent. Paul came and said, repent. Each and every man of God is saying, repent means turn around, change your heart, come to God, believe in God, follow the Lord. That's what the repentance is all about. And there are so many preachers, they don't want to use the word repent. They don't want to use the word confess. They don't want to use the word receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And they're thinking we are Christians. You cannot be Christians without repentance. You have to change your heart. You have to change your old way of living and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, when the Paul start preaching this, your heart to be circumcised. And those days, these Pharisees and all other Jewish people thought he is a nut. He is telling people to disobey the commandment of God. God did not tell just Paul, but he told Jeremiah. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4.
Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings.
Here God is saying to Jeremiah that you have to do the circumcision of your heart. I want your heart to be changed. I don't want you to be disobedient children. I want you to follow me. This is the God's way. Now he's Jeremiah talking. But let me go a little bit further. Read the Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 16.
Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked.
Now see, here he's saying in Deuteronomy, God wants you to circumcise your heart. And he says foreskin. But spiritually, if somebody really take the scissor and cut their heart, they will be dead. But here he's saying spiritually, you have to repent. Cut your heart, not your skin. Means repent and change of heart. That's what the Christianity is all about. If the people are thinking, I am born in the Christian family, that's why I'm Christian. Like a Muslim people born in the Muslim family, they become Muslim. They don't have to do anything. But the Christianity is different. If you did not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name can be Peter or John or James, Mary or whatever. It doesn't matter. God is looking at your heart. He says, I do not look outward appearance. God wants change of heart. And so we are adopted in the family of Abraham through Jesus Christ. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, what you have to do, you have to say, Jesus, I believe that you came from heaven, you died for me, you rose again, you are a living God, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, please forgive all my sins, wash me with your precious blood, and make me your child. As soon as you do that, something happens. Your sins are forgiven, and there is no record of your sins according to book of Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10. Your sins are forgiven and forgotten, and there is no record of your sins. Not only that, your name is written in heaven in the Lamb's book of life. So Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Now once you receive the Lamb of God as your Savior, your name changed from one book to another book. Even the name is Peter or Simon Peter and things like that. See, today we have computers. Olden days, typewriters or handwritten, you have to erase with eraser or you have to do with the ribbon and things like that. Today, in a computer, you should delete. It's gone. You cannot see it again. So God has a bigger computer than us. If you change the name, he said, this is what the name you want. Okay, I'll call you by that name. Delete the old name, put the new name. God knows everyone's name. He knows everyone's address. You can change the address and go somewhere. You have to change it all our records and bank books. But the God records, right away it changed. God comes to the direct to Mary's house or direct to Zachariah's place. Everywhere he knows wherever you are. You can change your addresses. You can change your name. You can hide from anyone. But you cannot hide from God. God knows your name. You change it, He's not going to call you by your old name. If you change your name new, he will call you by your new name. Because that's the way you like it, the name. He said, I'll call you by that name. He says, I am Almighty God. And he was revealed to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Everyone say, God of Abraham, or God of Isaac, or God of Jacob. They had no idea what is his name. Go to the Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3.
And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them.
He's saying to Moses, I appeared to Abraham, and I appeared to him, and I told him, my name is Almighty God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew only God is Almighty. But now he's taking a little bit deeper meaning to the Moses. Now I'm going to tell you to go and deliver the children of Israel from Pharaoh's hand. Even the first of all, he said, what is your name? He says, my name is I am that I am that's sending you. So he said, what do you mean I am? I want to know. They're not going to understand I am. But what he was trying to say, I am ever present God. When you go there, I'll be with you. Whatever you need, that is I am. So whatever you need, he says, I am the provider. But now he says, I appeared to Abraham. I told him only, I am Almighty God. But after that, you see so many names. We don't have time to tell you. There are so many names God revealed to mankind. And now he said, I'm telling you, I'm Jehovah. Jehovah can be a savior, a deliverer. And so he says, I am going to deliver the people from Egypt. But to Abraham, I revealed my name, Almighty God. Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I am Almighty God. Once you recognize our God is Almighty, that means he is all powerful. He can do anything. Only thing God doesn't do, he doesn't fail. Our God is Almighty God, and he has power to supply all your needs. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle working God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us grace to understand your will. Abraham is our example. He did not say, Lord, we do not want this kind of painful thing to cut our foreskin of our body. Could you give us a simple plan without hurting us? He obeyed. And all his servants and the family members, even his son, obeyed. Give us grace to obey you, to follow you. Whatever the way you want us to walk, we want to follow your way. We don't want to go astray. Give us grace to love you, to obey you, to follow you. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.